Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Our favorite time of the week. Welcome in Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Talking Titans and all things NFL alongside Joe Rexroad, Nick Keezer, and myself. PK, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm great, guys. How are you doing? I'm great, guys. How are you doing?
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. First things first, did we get the Thanksgiving reservations figured out last week? Lots of people wanting to know.
We did. I can't tell you the name of the restaurant until I look into my calendar here. The Dutch in Nashville on 12th Avenue.
There you go.
Which I've heard, you know, reasonably good things about. It certainly has a price that would suggest it's good. So we're excited about it. 3 o'clock. I like mid-afternoon. I don't schedule around bad football. So we'll have a big breakfast early, and then we'll head to the Dutch. And then we've got a Friendsgiving event here, Shea Kuharsky, on Saturday.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nicely done. The reservations have been secured. Lots of inquiring minds wanted to know. So, PK, after the game Sunday, you asked Mike Vrabel about his job status, and we discussed that earlier this week. I thought it was a good question, an appropriate time for the question, and obviously that's been the dominant part of the Titans' discussion this week. Is Mike Vrabel, the coaching staff, and the job that they've done? They're 3-7 on the season, 3-14 in their last 17 games. So how do you view where Vrabel currently sits with his job status as it relates to Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans organization?
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, and I've said time and time again, I think he should be the coach of this team next year with the replenished talent. I think he's proven he can be a successful coach in this league with a good roster, with a roster that's got like a skeleton to it, where he needs to fill in some pieces around it, but not with this roster, obviously. And when they're losing at the rate that they're losing, things look pretty bad. But I do think, you know, you can look at what they did in Jacksonville, where there was just no sign of anything good. Really, they got their first 2 passing touchdowns of the year on the road, after things were out of hand on trick plays. You know, the defense, which has been a good scoring defense and a good red zone defense, gave up 34 points and gave up touchdowns on 3 of 5 trips into the red zone. So even the two things you could say were good, have been good, were bad. And it just seems like there's not a glimmer of anything. Like, there's not a thread in that game or over the last several games where you say, well, at least there's that, you know? And so that's what prompted me to ask it. And I wasn't asking it like I think he's in trouble or should be in trouble. I was asking what he thought about his status. I thought his answer was pretty good. And I think he's handling the stuff that's thrown at him, you know, this week pretty well. But he's in unfamiliar territory, you know, being in such bad shape so relatively early in the season, where he's facing uncomfortable questions about things that he's not faced before at this stage.
Well, he's never lost like this at all, right? I mean, yeah. I keep meaning to look back at what his record was in high school, you know, but I bet you they won a lot. And
I bet you they did.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's always been in winning. I mean, he's been in his playing career was in 3 of the best organizations, including one that the first in-season firing since a co-owner fired himself in 1941. I mean, you know, which might be the best stat of the week. But the Chiefs and the Pats and the Steelers. And, you know, I guess he did. I'm trying to remember, Paul, one of those seasons with the Texans, did they have he had a rough season with the defense. They were all banged up. He didn't have any of his pass rushers and they were bad.
Yeah, his defensive coordinator year was bad as last year.
But was the overall season bad for the Texans that year?
I think so. Yeah. I don't remember exactly. Hey, it's not just him.
But that's different.
Yeah, it's not just him, Joe. Nick Suss had a great idea Sunday of the Tennessean. And he looked at the starting 22 in Sunday's game and found like 3 or 4 of the starting 22 that have any cause to be used to losing. I mean, they've all won in their football careers, college and pro. And so this is new territory for the vast majority of the roster, which is a good thing. I mean, you want guys with winning backgrounds, you know, Aaron Brewer at Texas State lost, you know, that was one of the few guys, but most of them have winning backgrounds and come out of winning cultures. And so it's new territory. And I think as fans, you like the fact that this is uncomfortable territory for them, but you also have to give them a sliver of, I don't know. Grace is the wrong word, but you know that they don't know exactly what to say or how to react is a good thing because it's new to them.
Do you think it's realistic? Because I hear it from fans left and right. TD asked the question, which again Vrabel kind of took that as, "Are you saying I've lost the room?" But you know, like he said, I'm not saying you are or you aren't. I'm asking you the question about you and the locker room, but where do you come down on Vrabel in this locker room, but even that idea in general, losing a room?
Like, what's an example of, what could Vrabel have said there as an example of holding the room? Like, I think it's kind of a intangible thing that it's hard to give an example of. I think this is like the hot new catchphrase with fans, like he's lost the room, right? The bottom 20 guys on this roster should be kissing Vrabel's feet because they're not in the league without Mike Vrabel, right? So I think they're on board. Not Jaleel.
Until they get cut.
Right, until they get cut like Jaleel and let it go, which is a really stupid move because he might have been tagged to come back on the practice squad. I don't know. But
great screenshot by you, by the way. Well done.
Yeah. He's certainly not coming back to the practice squad now, though there's a lot of validity to what he said. Look, the defense is nowhere near what it needs to be, but points per game were pretty good before Jacksonville and red zone defense. Like I said, the offense is the root of the problem on this team. We all know that. But does he have the room? So if you're losing the locker room, what does it mean? It means people aren't listening to you. Do we think people aren't listening to Mike Vrabel? I don't think people have tuned Mike Vrabel out. All of this is very circular. It all ends up back to the top of the circle to me. They're not very good. They're not enough talented guys on the team. I don't think guys have tuned Mike Vrabel out and they're playing poorly. I think guys aren't very good and they can't do what Mike Vrabel and his staff are asking them to do, because you're playing, you're down one cornerback in Sean Murphy Bunting, and all of a sudden you have to put a cornerback on the field. You have to move McCreary, which sucks because McCreary's a good nickel. You move McCreary, and then you've got guys on the field who aren't very good. I mean, they didn't envision playing Kayvon Wallace as a guy who's playing a lot of snaps, who wasn't here in training camp. Look, they made bad judgments about the talent pool on the offensive line. So when Dillard's not good, you're screwed. But then you're down Petit Frere, and now you're down Hubbard. And they had no plans to play Dylan Raidens, who they know is bad, who they've hesitated to play forever. And Jalen Duncan is a sixth round project who they wanted to give time. So, you know, they're responsible for the roster. Yeah. And the roster's a mess. And I think he's doing everything he can to not say, look, the fundamental problem here is that we're not very good. He did say, you know, Jaguars are better than us.
There's another element to this Vrabel discussion that I want to get PK's thoughts on coming up next. We'll do that. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharsky with us for the next 45 minutes talking all things Tennessee Titans. More coming up next. Make sure you tune in to 1025-1063 The Game this Saturday at 2:30 for our college football game of the week. Vanderbilt taking on Tennessee, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us, talking all things Tennessee Titans. So, PK, on this Vrabel discussion, there's a part of this that, admittedly, I don't know the answer to that's really intriguing to me, and it's how does Amy Adams Strunk feel about the way this season has gone down? On the one hand, like you said, this roster is bad, and you can look at it and say, well, you fired the general manager last year. It was going to take some time to rebuild the roster and retool things, and we're seeing the fruits of that right now. On the other hand, Vrabel and Carthon brought back Ryan Tannehill. Derrick Henry was still here. They went out and signed DeAndre Hopkins. There's been a lot of money that's been committed to that front four defensively, and some of the actions in the offseason tell me that they thought they could win, and they thought that they could compete this year in the AFC South, and right now they've got a 3-7 record to show for it. So how do you think Amy Adams Strunk feels about the way this season has gone, and how do you think that affects the conversation around Vrabel?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big question, but I think we've had this conversation at the beginning of the year. I think we all agreed this idea of trying to I remember listening to a podcast at the beginning of the season. I think we talked about it here. It was the Ringer or maybe the Athletic, Joe, where they were kind of mocking the Titans for this idea of trying to straddle the present and the future. Like, what are they doing? They're keeping Tannehill and Henry and trying to win this year while drafting their quarterback and their running back of the future and trying to set themselves up for later. That's silly. It didn't seem silly to me. It seemed like, you know, and look, we all in the end overestimated what they had this year. But I mea culpa on a lot of that. I mean, but I thought, I don't think it's unreasonable to have thought the front four was going to be good. There's a lot of evidence that those guys are good players. They're having a terrible collective year. But overall, yeah, I overestimated the team. But I didn't think it was a terrible strategy because the division looked pretty bad overall. You couldn't envision C.J. Stroud doing so well and the Texans getting back in it. And I thought it was reasonable to think at the very least you could contend, if not for the division, for the seventh spot in the playoffs and getting in the playoffs. You never know what's going to happen. So I didn't have any big criticism of this idea of trying to get trying to contend this year while starting to set yourself up for next year. And I would imagine Amy Adams Strunk felt the same way. She signed off on the moves that they made and everything. And I don't know what you would have done exactly to crush things. I mean, it would have been getting rid of Tannehill, but you still would have been on the hook for big money there. You could have gotten rid of Henry, and it would have hurt you in a big way with the fan base. So you take your lumps early instead of late. But I think she was on board with what they did. I mean, she's on board with everything they do. They may have to talk her into it. But that's the question,
right? How much talking into this team will be good and was involved.
Right. And how much then, like, hey, you guys talked me into this and it really blew up.
Right.
Is there after the fact? And I think, you know, the other thing that helps Vrabel is, you know, how much of this craft interest is real, you know, and fans have to really, you know, and I know we're talking to the least, I'll say, intelligent element of the fan base who are loud on Twitter. But, you know, there's this element out there. He's mailing it in. He's given up. The super ultra competitive Mike Vrabel in the eyes of some fans is given up. He wants to go to New England. Now, let's talk this through. Yeah. He's the 15th team in the AFC right now, and he's dying to get to the 16th team in the AFC, which has a worse roster than his roster and has no quarterback of the future and would have to give up draft picks, a good draft pick or draft picks to get him, which would make it an even worse job. And still have no quarterback. So I don't really understand the logic that he's dying to get out of Nashville to get to New England, which is a worse situation where he'd be following one of the greatest coaches of all time. So I don't get that. And I, you know, the body language thing. So people are upset with his body language.
Yeah.
Because he looks miserable. So what is that? If he looked happy, he would get even more crushed. So what is the line of body language that people want from Mike Vrabel? And can we stop? Look, we talked about this last week. I overparsed the language and I admit it. And I need to do it less. The parsing of, I don't know if we could use parsing for the body language, if that's the right word. But first off, you could take a still shot of anybody at any time and make them look bad. You could take a still shot of a play and find a guy wide open or holding or whatever at any time. I don't know how you want Mike Vrabel to look on the sideline. Like, what hit the text line. What should Mike Vrabel look like at any given time on the sideline of a 3-7 season? What's the exact right way to look between miserable, which you don't like, and happy, which would piss you off?
What's the body language like when your quarterback's flat on his back for the 12th time in a game?
Yeah, it's a ridiculous thing to constantly assess.
You know, to your point, a few years ago, Big Joe took a picture of me at a Titans press conference blinking and tweeted it and said I had fallen asleep at the Titans press conference. I screamed F-bombs at him. I'm still mad at you, Big Joe.
And it's a time when you were dealing with a serious bout of gout. And people don't know the context of that. And so, you know, that's exactly what I'm talking about. They have no idea what you're going through at home. Your wife is angry at your lazy ass. And you've got gout. And there's all sorts of things going on. You did the same thing to me with A.J. Brown, who happened to extend his hand a millisecond before I did when we had made amends. And you made it like, here's A.J. Brown being the good guy, extending his hand to Kuharski. When I actually initiated the conversation for he and I to come to amends, and it's the exact kind of the same thing.
That's all interpretation.
So he screwed you, you screwed me, and it goes around.
And then everybody makes sure you wear your towels in the locker room. Yeah, that'll never go away. Thank
you. It's funny now that Dwight of the Titans PR staff, whenever I feel like it's more targeted to me, it's probably more general. But whenever I'm talking to somebody, he comes and kind of stands over the guy's shoulder to eliminate one side of the periphery where there's no chance I could be catching a stretch.
Everyone beware. Kuharski's got his phone out. Everyone watch out.
Hey, are you sure you don't want to shoot vertical? There's a lot less chance of catching anything on the side.
Hey, did you guys credential OnlyFans? What's this credential OnlyFans? What does this mean?
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts for Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com. Got a lot more to get into with Mike Vrabel and the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie.
Hey, we can't catch Joe sleeping at Titans press conferences anymore. He's giving up on this team.
He's done. He's
live in totally Florida
done.
Now.
We'll have more on Robbie and Rex Road next. This is 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com with us talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. PK, the body language talk on the text line. A lot of suggestions as to what Mike Vrabel should be doing. Jeff from Tennessee says he should be getting up in players' faces after they do bad stuff all during the game instead of shoving a dip in his mouth. Trey on the text line says, I would like to see some old-school Nick Saban rage. Not saying it would help, but show that you're pissed off rather than to just sit there with a stupid blank look. That's from Trey from Antioch. Your thoughts?
I mean, you think he's not pissed off, really? There's so much for fans to be upset about. For this to be a thing that's top of list, I think is ridiculous. And I think it's our obligation to pound that into people. For this to be top of list is silly. For people to be thinking that he's looking for a way out is silly. Concentrate on the stuff that's important, the lack of talent. The biggest Vrabel thing for me right now, if you want to be critical of Vrabel, is who's getting better. Give me the best example of a guy in a predominant role, not Eric Gehrer, who's gotten better, but not better enough to be, one of the cornerbacks who's on the field on a regular basis. Who among the players that they are featuring on a regular basis has shown some kind of steady improvement over the course of the year? It's a very small list. I mean, I'd ask you guys off the top of your head, name three guys who've steadily gotten better this season. Player development, despite the fact that the roster is bad, has not been good enough. If I'm a fan, I'd be obsessed with that, not with the coach's body language.
And I'm trying to come up with one guy right now that's played a prominent role.
Yeah. Well, first of all, whatever a coach's traits are, their screamer, and we just had Clark Lee on. Clark Lee last year, they beat Florida, Kentucky, and he's a really smart, nice guy, and so that's a great trait. And then when they lose, it's like you want the other type of guy, right? Like,
yeah.
Like your traits are all negative if you lose. We've talked about that. But to your point on, I hear what you're saying, PK, on development. I don't often feel like I see too much in-season improvement unless you're talking about, like, I think of, like, Nate Davis as a rookie. I look at it more like year-to-year. How was your offseason? Like I think we all thought Treylon Burks was going to show a lot of that this year, and obviously for a variety of reasons that hasn't happened. But I guess I don't look at it too much like during the season you see too many guys, especially guys who have been in the league at any amount of time, improving during the season, if that makes sense.
Well, where's Chig? I mean, if a guy, Chig was with Burks, right? Those were the two guys that were expected to get better this year. Burks hasn't been around. Chig has been around. Chig's been a disaster this year.
He's been very disappointing.
So what's going on with that? If I'm a fan, I'd be much more worried about that than Mike Vrabel's body line. And to indicate that Mike Vrabel's not fiery on the sideline, I mean, do you not see his interactions with officials and stuff? I mean, I think to indicate that he's Mike Munchak on the sideline is crazy.
How many NFL coaches, like obviously Saban will sometimes just completely lose his stuff at Alabama, and he can do whatever he wants to do at this point, but how many NFL coaches scream at players? And how does that work out? Like Mike Singletary, that worked out well. How is that beneficial on game day? Now, we've seen Vrabel at practice, and it's just, he'll get after people, right? That's when you do it. And unfortunately, fans don't see that. And so on game day, you got to show composure and next play, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the one time we saw him not get next play, you know, I mean, he's taken a bullet for Craig Aukerman.
Oh boy.
When Kyle Phillips is you know, muffing a punt with 2 seconds left in London before the half and handing over a field goal. Here, take 3 points.
Yeah, he's got to transition to doing someone else's job.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So PK, on the assistant coaches front, speaking of Aukerman and others, if this continues to go this way and they're, I don't know, 5-12 at the end of the year, 6-11, whatever it ends up being, do you think that staff changes could be a possibility? He was asked about staff changes the other day. Of course, he's not going to come out in the middle of the season and be like, yeah, you know what, I'm really considering making some staff changes right now. But do you think that could be a possibility? And I'm talking specifically, like, do you think Shane Bowen could be in trouble at the end of the year?
I doubt it. You know, again, the defense, I think, in two major areas before this Jacksonville game, scoring defense and red zone defense, has been to their liking. You know, that there's a lot of things that aren't going on. They pounded the turnover theme this offseason. They don't turn the ball over at all. But again, the number one thing that I would look at on defense is player underachievement. I came into the season expecting, I understand Landry's ACL recovery, but Arden Key, Harold Landry, Danico Autry, and Jeffrey Simmons, Tariq Havoc, and Key, the whole defense, if not the whole team. And against Jacksonville, they had one sack, which was Terrell Edmonds running Trevor Lawrence out of bounds, and one other quarterback hit from Landry. You're touching the quarterback, touching, quote unquote, because Edmonds ran a guy out of bounds. You're influencing the quarterback to a statistical degree twice.
Yep.
in a game. I don't see how that's Shane Bowen. I mean, I don't think Shane Bowen's having a great season, but his people are not showing up for him. Those four key people in particular, and that's a big problem. On the offensive side, which to me is the big issue, he just reformatted that whole offensive staff. And so to me, the thinking would be, well, we reformatted the whole offensive staff. We now need to refill that offensive roster to let them do what I shaped that staff to do. And I know people aren't going to be happy with that at all. I don't know about Haas, the new offensive line coach, but he's had nothing to work with.
Well, I think that would be the one place, right? The idea being, you know what, maybe you should have gotten fresh perspective and someone who's actually done it and has more experience than go with the assistant, the guy you fired. But this brings up one of two Titans takes, my favorite two of the week that I do want to make sure we get in front of you today, Paul. One of them is the, and we've talked about this, but again, it's like, it's not going to die and it's only getting louder. It's the Jim Schwartz time here. Look at Shane Bowen's performance. Look at Shane Bowen before Jim Schwartz. Look at Shane Bowen after Jim Schwartz. Look at Shane Bowen when Jim Schwartz was here. I've tried to, I don't really buy it much because Jim Schwartz's role was limited, but maybe you disagree.
Look, my understanding is the same as yours. He did not do an incredible amount. You know, he was a resource and a reference, and he chimed in with ideas and stuff, but he was not a big hands-on coach or a game planner or all of that. But it's hard, Joe, when you're looking at things, not to say the defense was bad. Jim Schwartz came in and the defense was good for 2 years. Jim Schwartz left and the defense is bad. So, I mean, there's a correlation there for sure. I don't know if it's the causation, but it's hard not to put it at least on the list of things that have changed. What's changed on the Titans defense in terms of personnel? I mean, you know, Bud Dupree is not the difference in the Titans defense this year.
David Long is a difference.
David Long is a difference, but David Long also missed what, 6 games last year, I want to say.
And look at their defense when he played and when he didn't play.
No, I agree. And I don't think anybody disagrees that David Long was a good player for this defense and an influential player for this defense. But people wanted the injury thing cleaned up. So what do you want? Do you want David Long on the team or do you want the injury thing cleaned up? You have to pick. And people had pitchforks and torches out about the injury thing. And so the Titans addressed the injury thing by moving on from one of the guys who was a linchpin in the soft tissue injury thing. Do you want that or do you not want that? You can't have both. And so I was fine with the way the Titans went about things with David Long. Now, the problem with the David Long thing is you drafted Monty Rice in the third round to replace David Long, and Monty Rice doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, it's a great.
Yeah, I go ahead, Joe.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, for sure. Now, listen, even in 21, Bud Dupree, when he was available, that was the best stretch of defense under Mike Vrabel by far, right? When they had Dupree going, like think of the Rams game, think of the Chiefs game. They had Simmons and Autry at his best level. I think Autry, still a good player, but since the injury last year at Green Bay, he hasn't been the same player, I believe. And then obviously you had Landry having his career year, right? So you had an overwhelming pass rush. I just can't sit here and say that, yeah, that's Schwartz, you know, during the week. I mean, that those guys were playing at a high level. You had Byron and Hooker playing at a high level. You were fine at corner. You were sound everywhere. Last year, I think, was actually some of Vrabel's best coaching because they did have these issues. They had more all the injuries and things like that, and they still were able to, like, cobble together good defensive performances most weeks.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem out of what you're saying is, we all know left tackle and beyond on the offensive line, priority one, right? Then, you know, I think an elite cornerback is an absolute necessity. Wide receiver, they've got to stock. And we've not been saying, or I've not been saying, but edge rusher is in there now. They need something beyond what they've got in terms of rushing the passer. I just named the outside of quarterback. I just named the four premium positions in the NFL. They've got to address the four premium positions beyond quarterback with a first rounder, a second rounder, no third rounder. Now they've got the $100 million, but you know, you go through the lists at those positions. Those are the positions that if you draft and develop a guy, you resign.
Yeah, no question about it. I want to get deeper into that coming up next as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Check out Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. You can enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. PK, we talked earlier in the show about Levis not practicing yesterday. You have some news on the Will Levis front for this week.
Indications are that he will most likely practice today, which is good news, obviously. I had a sneaking suspicion yesterday. You know, it was a Tuesday, a day early. It was a very walkthrough-ish practice. I didn't feel like he was missing a heck of a lot. Because they traded a Tuesday for a Thursday with Thanksgiving. He was on the injury report last week with a foot. He got an ankle taped after the late in the first quarter or between the first and second quarter in Jacksonville. So I was thinking there was a good chance it was not serious. And again, most likely will practice today are the indications that I'm getting.
So, PK,
you just upped attendance by 15,000 or something.
You might have. It's going to be
interesting. Well, he can do that himself with the injury report today and Friday. So we shall see. But, yeah, no, Joe, I thought there was a scenario. Actually, I was just talking to my all 22, you know, Carolina being as bad as it is. It was actually a scenario, if it was something more serious for Levis, where Tannehill could have come back. This is a good scenario for Derrick Henry. I wrote down Carolina is 24th in run defense, giving up about 130 a game. Could have been a throwback game with Tannehill and Henry, like one last hurrah against a terrible opponent. But I don't think we're going to see that.
Doesn't look like we're going to see that. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, so before we – yeah, I want to throw – I want a little Thanksgiving cheer for Jared Stillman today. Your destined co-host and best friend, because he's
I'm waiting for this co-hosting gig. I keep waiting for the phone.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it happen behind the scenes.
So Jared, and we've been texting, you know, back and forth. It's just mind blowing to me, and I'm sure it'll come up today at 5 o'clock. But Jared's got, like, he thinks Carthon fired now. Carthon should be on the hot seat along with Vrabel. They should both be on the hot seat. Carthon should be in the hot seat.
Carthon, who had a good draft.
Please help me. Please help
who
me.
Who did pretty well given little money. I mean, I'm not a huge Rand Carthon guy, but the chances of Rand Carthon getting fired after this season, I mean, if Jared likes to play the odds, are 0%.
It's just asinine. I don't necessarily agree with you that he did pretty well in free agency. It was bad. I mean, but still, I mean, like, well, Brunskill came into a bad situation. Brunskill's not bad.
Aziz. Yeah. It's okay. Functional. Arden Keys turned into a big disappointment. Those Nick are Folk. The big three, right?
Well, Andre Dillard, have you heard of this? Have you heard of him? He's on this football
team. Yeah, no. A huge, huge failure. In that regard, he picked up right where John Robinson left off. Right. Let's keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah. There is continuity in off seasons. Yeah. But seriously, like, he took over a bad situation. He just got here.
And
what
he had no money.
What are we talking about?
He had no money. I know Jared somehow thinks the salary cap doesn't exist because some teams manage it incredibly well. For this team, it absolutely exists.
So, PK, to that point, you mentioned all the needs that they have to fill this offseason and the premium positions and all that. One of the big problems I continue to have is, like, Aaron Brewer's inability to snap a football to the quarterback, which has been a problem. Like, how much of a priority should upgrading at center be for the Titans, given all the other needs they have?
Yeah, well, I can't be high on the list. That's an important point here, Robbie, is that something like that probably – and Aaron Brewer needs to be re-signed, by the way. They like Aaron Brewer, obviously, more than most people. But you're not going to be able probably – I mean, maybe you get Aaron Brewer – you could upgrade there. Let's say that. But in the list of things that you need to deal with, where that could rank relatively high on a regular team, it's pushed down to eighth or ninth on this team because of all of the things that we've been talking about. And so if they don't get to it because they're busy with all that other stuff, I'm not going to harp on it. Will Levis was excellent on that yesterday. He was asked about it. He said, basically paraphrasing, it's an issue. We've talked about it. The snaps are missing generally in the same place. And we know that they're kind of high and to the right from the quarterback perspective. We've got to work on it. We've got to fix it. But he was speaking pointedly, not harshly, but pointedly about Brewer's issue there, which I thought was good quarterback leadership and, like, sensible, honest stuff. Like, nothing that they like, oh my God, he's calling out the center, but, like, hey, there's a quarterback speaking frankly about something that's obvious.
Well, PK,
for this,
go ahead, Joe, real quick. We have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, way to use those 30 seconds.
Jim. How important is this for Vrabel, this game? Yeah, just in terms of quieting the noise.
You lose to Carolina and you're, you know, one of the very worst teams in the league. I know people feel the Titans are that now. But if they beat Carolina, they climb a notch, you know, and I think they still have a couple wins in them, I would think. But, you know, it's obviously your 4-point favorite, Joe. 4 points.
Get fired up.
Don't score. Pump it up.
Well, PK, happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate you taking time to be with us each and every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and I hope you enjoy the Thanksgiving reservations. Rex Road, happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
I really appreciate you guys. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock the locks.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their week. We're going to be back on Monday, so no show tomorrow or Friday. Back at it on Monday at 6 a.m. Everybody be safe out there. Have a good Thanksgiving week. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.